You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, Hudson Bay Mountain just hosted the 40th annual Schuss Boomer, one of the longest-running recreational downhill ski races in Canada. More than 160 participants, the most ever, from across Northwest BC and beyond, took to Twinkle Toes on Hudson Bay Mountain's north slope in the hopes of being crowned the fastest person on the hill. But after 40 years, it's not only about the need for speed that drives the Schuss Boomer, but the spirit of community and a tradition that is more vibrant than ever.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. 30 seconds is a lot.
Go ahead, keep it, of course.
We're just clear up the interval here.
Copy that. Which interval?
Checkpoint. Just below checkpoint 2.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be fast.
Like that sound?
Yeehaw! Fast, fast, fast! Go, go, go.
Okay, this is really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, my name's Cormac Hickish. I'm the past president of Smithers Ski and Snowboard Club, and we're here at the 40th annual Schuss Boomer Downhill, one of the longest-standing Masters downhill events in the country. We've been at it for 40 years, since 1984 actually, so 42 years now, and we've had the biggest turnout in history today.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, I mean, it's not a bad day. There's been worse Schuss Boom weather, but tell me about, this is the most turnout that you've had. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we've definitely been looking forward to this 40th year for some time. Excitement has been growing over the years, and the numbers keep climbing, and so we did plan for a big crowd. This year, though, exceeded all expectations. We've got 168 racers, I think, from ages 10 to 70, in their 70s. We've got people who grew up ski racing in various clubs, including Smithers, and they've come back. They've kept their old fast boards. We've got kids here who are actively racing, following their dreams. We've got people here with costumes, people on snowboards, everyone's having fun. It's a full family affair. There's a lot of fun happening today, yeah.
I guess a quick one. You know, I look at the bibs and some of the outfits that our folks are wearing. You know, some of them are Team Canada. You know, like we have folks here that skied nationally and even further on. Tell me about the quality and kind of the array of different skill levels that we have in this race.
Yeah, if you want a chance for the top five, you've got to have a lot of good things going for you. You've got to have a lot of experience as a ski racer, downhill, and also knowing how to turn. You've got to have fast skis. Like those skis probably have come from an Olympian, from somewhere else on the World Cup circuit. You've got to have good wax. You've got to know how to use all that stuff. You've got to have good inspection. It does help to have a little bit of extra weight around your belly or wherever it might be. So there definitely is a mass to momentum ratio when you're tucking down that downhill run. But you have to put it all together. It doesn't mean the fastest, best guy always wins. It's a big turnout, and it's a great race. We've got a great women's field this year as well. We've got a whole bunch of young women in their early 20s back from university that have come back for this race. They all grew up racing together in various hills, and so it's going to be a good competition on the women's side as well. On the men's, if you make top 15, you're going to be pretty proud of yourself. If you make top 50, you're probably pretty proud of yourself. It is competitive, yeah. If you look at those times that are coming up this morning, most of us are within a second of each other. Like, it's a tight results. And we're not going to know till this afternoon what the true race champion is going to look like.
Yeah.
Cormac, I know you've been doing this a long time. What's a memorable moment that has kept the Shoe Spoomer going 40 years on?
You know, it's a mixture of tradition and new young energy. I think it's that combination of really, you know, respecting those that started this event. And we all have this need for speed. So, you know, this is a way to do this in a safe way that we can all go at our comfort zone or a little bit on the edge of our comfort zone as fast as we can down a safe run that's got course control and got safety in place. And all ages love to do that. It's like going down a toboggan when you're a kid. When you do it as an adult, you still love it, even though you're a little more scared. It's that feeling. It's good for the whole family. So I think that's what's kept it going over the years, that balance. We definitely have a strong ski club with a lot of active volunteers. And so we've put a lot of work into building depth of support and knowledge. So that's made a big difference. But, you know, really at the end of the day, it's about having fun and hanging out with your friends and your family and meeting new friends and having a great weekend.
Yeah, totally. You know, one thing you mentioned there, and I've run into this, you know, all the time, the years that I've come up to the Shoe Spoomer, you know, we're seeing some skis that probably haven't seen the light of day for some time or just get busted out for the Shoe Spoomer. In the 40 years and in the time that you've been part of the club and seeing this race, you know, what has changed? You know, obviously there's technology advances and whatnot, but what are the big changes from 40 years ago to today?
Well, that's a good question. You know, some stuff has changed and some hasn't. Like the skis, a fast pair of skis isn't always the newest pair of skis. There are fast skis that are running that are 10, 20, even 30 years old. They were fast then, and they're still fast now. So some things haven't changed that way. Definitely skis, the downhill ski speed suits that we all wear, the modern era of those are probably a little faster than 20, 30 years ago. Helmets are a lot safer. So my wife told me, I'm in an old helmet here for costume, but when I'm racing, I'm in a modern helmet. So if I do have a fall, it's going to protect my noggin. You know, technology... Ski boots haven't changed that much either. So it's kind of, again, like that tradition with the new. Yeah. It's not like other sports, like mountain biking or other sports where it's a complete evolution. Sports change completely. Yeah. This one is not so much. It's attainable for everyone that likes to ski, likes to go fast.
Yeah.
A lot of the equipment today, though, is only used on race day. Like many of us have these skis carefully stored away for 364 days so we can pull those skis out and use them here. We know which ones are fast, which ones maybe aren't.
Yeah.
We know which wax. We do a lot of testing in the background, a lot of discussion. So there is a lot of camaraderie, a lot of jabbing back and forth about who's going to be fastest. And then we don't know until tonight. The awards come out tonight. It's all kept secret. It all goes in the vault. We don't find out until we're all there this evening, and then everyone wants to see the results. So anyway, didn't answer your question, but
no, that's fine. Just the last thing for you, Cormac. You know, you mentioned at the beginning, 40 years. You know, there's not a lot of ski races in Canada that are this old, community ski races. What keeps it going? What's the enduring factor that has kept the Shoe Spoomer going this long? And obviously it's going to continue maybe for another 40 years.
It's hard to say one thing. I think, you know, COVID taught us that not every event survives, right? COVID taught us that some of these traditions don't make it through tough eras in human history. So it's really about, you know, making sure that we understand that history, but you've got to have a core group that's like, we still have to put effort into it to get it started again. So that doesn't really answer the question. I think it comes back to family and fun in a safe environment, the need for speed. The music's playing in the background, everyone's laughing and smiling. Like, you know, that's what it's about. It's about that family connection, being outside, right? We're not tied to TVs. Nobody's even looking at their phones for 3 days. We've expanded the event, so we've got the speed camp on the Friday, downhill today. Tomorrow is an optional slalom race that is combined with your downhill time. So there's a different winner's bibs tomorrow based on the downhill and if you can actually turn small skis. So we've expanded the event to attract a wider audience. Yeah.
Cormac, I know at this race that you could get up to some pretty fast speeds. I know 120 is kind of way up there. But tell me about some of the speeds that you've seen at the Schussboomer.
Yeah, so the way we really compete for speed, there's two ways. There's actually the fastest speed. So what's your fastest kilometers per hour? And then how fast can you run from the top to the bottom? And they're two very different categories. So the fastest time from the top to the bottom doesn't always mean you're the fastest speed in the radar trap. So we've got, it used to be an old radar gun like the police had back in the 80s. Now we've made it more sophisticated with timing technology. Today though, our fastest speed this morning was 109 kilometers an hour, which is actually pretty slow. Comparatively, last year the winning speed was 116 kilometers per hour. A fast year, a bunch of us are over 120. And you're just hanging on for dear life through the finish corral. And you're hoping you can slow down once you get through the finish line. This year, a bit of fresh snow the last 2 days. I'm guessing it'll be probably 110 to 114 kilometers an hour will be the winning speed. Most people though are cracking over 100. I was 103 kilometers this morning. Sounds fast, but I was not happy that I was 6 kilometers an hour slower than the winning guy. It's the real deal. You're probably averaging 80 to 90 kilometers an hour from top to bottom. But that speed trap at the bottom, you pick up speed. If you run a certain line and you put it all out there, you can really accelerate. It might lose a tenth or two of seconds for your fastest time. So there's a decision point you have to make. Do you want the fastest speed and go for that? Or do you want the fastest time and run a perfect, what we call a line out through the gate? So it's two events, two different categories. They're both really important. The heavier you are, the more momentum accumulates by the bottom. So often the fastest guys are the biggest guys. And we've got a couple guys here, 250 to 300 pounds. Hard to stay stay up with them at that point. But us late guys still punch in well over 100 kilometers an hour. Even the kids, 70, 80, 90 kilometers an hour, and they're over the moon.
Those freshly fed snakes. When you're going that fast, and I know there's been a couple of years, probably in the last decade, where we've seen, 120 or over. What's going through your mind, even when you're reaching, I know you said it's a bit slow, but, driving on the highway at 110 kilometers an hour seems pretty fast. I would imagine on two skis, it feels a little faster.
Yeah, so imagine driving that fast and then jumping out the window, right? Time slows down. You are making life decisions and you're not really thinking much beyond that. Down the bottom, it is pretty rolly. And when you're going really fast over those rolls, you're just trying to keep your skis below your boots and your head above your boots. And you're just hanging on for dear life. There's not much else going through your head at that point except whatever you can do to be faster. So it literally is that need for speed. And it's so much fun. And you get to the finish line and everyone's just ecstatic how fast it was and the feeling that you get. And then you're, am I faster than the person ahead of me or behind me? I don't know. It's a lot of fun.
You also mentioned it's not just smithereens here. It's a lot of people that have come from away. Tell me a little about who are some of the other folks that we have here racing today.
Yeah, thanks for asking. It's been an unbelievable turnout, as I mentioned already, but we've got a huge crew from the Yukon. The Whitehorse ski team came down. Over 30 athletes, masters and younger athletes. Here we've got guests that have come, some guys that ski race together from Grouse Tai. We've got a big contingent from Quesnel, Lightning Creek Ski Club, Troll Mountain, from Prince George Ski Club as well. We've got we've got university kids that have come, flown in from Calgary, from New Brunswick. They'll come back for this event. I'm sure there's others, but people have come from all over British Columbia for this weekend, for this event. It's so great.
All right, Cormac, good luck. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Big thanks to our sponsors, of course. Hudson Bay Mountain's amazing, and we've got an amazing gold, silver, and bronze sponsor group, too. But a big shout-out to Hudson Bay Mountain, and couldn't do it without the resort.
My name is Gene McNeil. I am the president of the Smithers Ski and Snowboard Club, and we are here today at the 40th annual Shoosh Boomer.
Yes, we are. Thanks, Gene. This looks amazing. I've spoken to a few people, you know, just about some stories to Cormac. Sounds like it's a record turnout this year for the 40th year. There's a lot of volunteers that are needed to pull this off. What does it take to pull the 40th year off, but also to keep this going for this long?
Totally. It takes multi-generational families who are in this for the long haul. We have, you know, grandparents, their kids, their grandkids all out here today. There is three generations of a Hislop family from Prince George here all racing. The volunteer power, we started talking about this after Shoosh Boomer last year, wondering if we could pull it off, because we also had a race just before this, a BC Alpine race that ended on Thursday. So we have Yukon all the way to Quesnel actual alpine racers here, so their volunteer power also came to help us. So yeah, we couldn't do it without everyone in the community, also the sponsors in town who show up huge for us, Skeena Katski, BV Electric, the two platinum sponsors. Yeah, really everyone pulls in to help us this weekend.
How long have you been involved with this business? And you mentioned your daughter there. So what is it to you know, be up here, be part of the community, and also, you know, have kids that are learning and advancing in alpine skiing and downhill skiing? Because as far as I understand, they go pretty fast.
Yeah, my 14 and 12-year-old went 97 kilometers an hour yesterday. So just when you're driving down the highway, think of that. No, it's an amazing community. We have met people from across the province, across Alberta. It's a second family, really. We're all very tight-knit. My 9-year-old now skis better than me, and I've been on skis since an infant. So it's a pretty cool thing to have it. And again, it's a generational thing. You can ski with our grandparents are up here. You know, three generations can ski together easily on any weekend, so it's a pretty exceptional experience.
You know, being president of the club, obviously there's a number of kids. I see them a lot out here. You mentioned there was a ski race this past week, and the nets were out, slalom, and I just wonder about, you know, this has some, as you mentioned, generational depth to it. You know, there's been some Olympic skiers that have come out of this club. What does it take to keep this club as vibrant as it is to allow for, you know, big races like the Shoosh Boom to continue?
Yeah, it takes a lot of parent volunteer time. It takes a lot of, you have to have passion for the sport. You have to love it. And we have a lot of our parents are ex-ski racers. They're BC team fist racers. Again, the grandparents, the same things. So just having that love and passion and seeing sport in kids. Again, being able to do it with your kids instead of sitting on the sidelines and watching them, being able to be with them on snow. You know, you can gate judge and be on the side of the course. You can coach. So many of our coaches are parents. And so that's super important. To again have that family feel everywhere we go, and we get it from other ski teams. That's just how this sport rolls.
Gene, you know, this is 40 years of the Shoosh Boomer. I remember my first one was probably in about the 20s, 21, 22 Shoosh Booms. And to see it going this long is pretty amazing. One of the longest, if not the longest in Canada, definitely in BC. What do you love about this event, about the Shoosh Boomer, that keeps you driven to keep it going?
The people that come. I mean, I know there's Alberta participants. I mean, we have the Yukon, we have Kamloops, we got Terrace. We just, the amount of people that come to do this and just love it. They're so passionate. We had the welcome party at Smithers Brewing last night, and everyone was just so thankful about, again, the volunteer time, what it takes to put it on, and how much it exceeds their expectation. It's just so enjoyable. You're speeding down a green run. You don't really think logically that should be as much fun as it is, but you're going as fast as you can down a pretty fun run at the best of times.
Awesome, Gene. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Have fun.
The oldest competitor this year at the Shoosh Boomer was 85 years young Heikki Justila from Kitimat via Finland. Heikki fell in love with skiing Hudson Bay Mountain half a century ago, and he's been in a few Shoosh Boomers over the years.
My Shoosh Boomer competition started when I was a young man, or much younger man. And then I been staying in pretty good shape and so on. So I decided that when I get 85 and Schuss Boomer coming, that will be my last, let's say, competition on that category. And then I relieving my place to somebody else. Yes.
No doubt. That's a pretty solid run. When was your first Schuss Boomer?
Okay, that is 1902. I can find 1902.
Well, I think we have a kind of an outfit from the 10th anniversary. The 10 years when Schuss Boomer was the 10 years, and then we have one for 20 years.
Yes.
So, yeah, we were trying to figure out how many Schuss Boomers he's been in, but those two definitely.
Yeah. And there are more, let's say, downhill races also when somewhere in 1980...
And 1990,
yes. And then my work took me away from, let's say, participating all other things because I was traveling around the world on those days. So no time for skiing, but retiring. And then I, naturally, it's been my most favorite sport since 1972, we started skiing here in Kitimat, Terrace, which is our neighbor town, and that was taking place in Kitsum-Kailum Mountain. And then when they built a new, let's say, place where to ski, we decided that we will started looking forward meanwhile, to go to the Smithers, and since that, it's been our only place where I've been taking part of, let's say, Schuss Boomer. Yeah.
Or skiing.
Aggie, I just want to ask you, you know, going at 85, what was going through your head when you were getting ready? Because some of these competitors are very competitive, and also the speeds that some of these skiers get up to. So what were you thinking about, and what were you looking forward to just before you did your run?
Okay, I think that when I started talking with my daughter Haley and Jerry, and I said that I like to make like an end for this and participating once more this year, because I kind of feeling that my skiing was in reasonably good level. Originally, when we had all that plan to participate, I had my downhill skis, which were 217, and then when a couple days earlier, they said that when we checking out at how
your bindings,
bindings didn't fit for my ski boots because they were the new boots, and then
skis were 30 years old.
That's right. They were 30 years old, but I did several runs with them throughout the years. So, however, I have to take my carbine skis, which were 171. And when I was in starting gate and having even practice runs, I was just feeling at that when the speed started coming high up, and faster, they started flapping quite a bit and so on. And I think that I was a little bit, let's say, concerned about what will happen if I let everything go wide open.
Amazing.
Yeah. But anyway, those boat runs, I was really satisfied myself. But okay, in this age and this shape, taking it more than, let's say, saying at what is my speed or something like that. I was proud of myself that I could do it, yeah.
Yeah, I think his goal was to finish without wiping out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that my dad, for the first run, because they had to guess for the second run how much, you know, what your time was going to be for the second run. And my dad said right away, he says, I can be 10 seconds faster. And he was 12 seconds faster, so that was pretty good.
Unreal. That's great.
Yeah. So, okay, now my question, now when you have all this, my story, how it's been going on, naturally, I appreciating, let's say, maybe one more thing to cut off from the magazine or newspaper and then put it in my collection like we always been doing. And by the way, my wife, in early years, we were a dynamic duo because we she was winning a lot of races on her categories. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
And that's, the kids are now, and grandkids, they've been taking skiing, let's say, the best level what they ever can think of. Yeah.
You know, I have another question for you, Heikki. It sounds like skiing has been a big part of your life for a long time. You know, tell me a little bit about that, about how you got to skiing and what it means to you. What does skiing mean to you?
It happened in early 70s. We started going to try out because we naturally, when I was born and went to the school in 1947
in Finland,
then we had no bus transportation. We had to ski with the little skis to get to the school. And then cross-country ski.
Yeah.
And then when we get here, I was 29 years old when I arrived to Kitimat. And then my skiing started on that time by friends saying, hey, cross-country is nothing, just let's go downhilling. And that's what we started doing. And it came, the whole family was enjoy, and my friends too, which I was skiing with. They took me first time to the mountain. Yeah.
Yeah, and you've been, well, it was a whole family sport, and you guys were just hooked on skiing.
Yeah.
And in the 80s, they built a cabin up at the ski hill, and we've been using that ever since.
1988, we built a cabin in Hudson Bay Mountain in Turkish Wood. And it's still there, and hopefully it will continue a lot of years to come.
After a day of competition at the Shoosh Boomer 2026, in the end, Chris Campbell from Quesnel hit the 100-kilometer mark, next to Bridie Hickish from Smithers' 107 kilometers an hour. Phil Bernier had the fastest time with 1 minute and 26 seconds in the men's competition, and Bridie Hickish also took the female competition with 1 minute 30. And Heikki Uttila claimed the Grandmaster division with 2 minutes and 8 seconds. You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.